verse 1, and we'll pray. Actually, I'll read the first, I'll read the first four verses of John chapter 4, and then we'll pray. And then dive into the passage and see what we can learn tonight. So it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." We'll pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use your word in our hearts to encourage and grow us. We just want to honor you in this service and pray you'll meet with us now. In Christ's name, amen. So the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus had a purpose. He knew that there would be people there who would listen, just as God knows today who will listen and who won't. And God, I believe, still sends his servants to witness, those who are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. But as you'll see in the next couple of weeks, this whole town got saved because of one woman. But Jesus knew all of this because Jesus knew the future. So he must needs go. He knew that there were people there who would listen, and he was being led by the needs of the people. We see a very similar thing happening in Acts chapter 8 with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's look at it real quick. Acts chapter 8, just verse 26. But again, what we see here is the Holy Spirit will lead us if we will be sensitive to his leading, and he will lead us to people who will listen, who will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was the case here with Philip, chapter 8, verse 26 of Acts. It says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto to Gaza, which is desert." So the angel didn't say, "I want you to go witness to the Ethiopian eunuch," but he did send him on this certain way. And of course, on the way, he met the Ethiopian eunuch and he got saved. And then he baptized him and then disappeared. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but tradition says that Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and witnessed to the king, and the gospel went to Ethiopia through that one man, which wouldn't be surprising. But the point is that Jesus knew, you know, he often would see the multitudes, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep scattered with no shepherd. So Jesus knew that if he would go into Samaria, that they would listen. And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because if we will listen, he will lead us to those who need and those who will listen. Now, the Bible says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God," in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. So let's allow him to lead us. It says down in verse 5 of our chapter, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Remember, Jesus was God, but he was also a man. And he got thirsty and got tired just like we do. And we'll talk about this on Sunday, but Christ made a lot of sacrifices to come to this earth. And one of them was to become a human on our behalf. But this passage is about this woman. Verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." So he's going to give us a good witnessing lesson in this passage, which ties in well with what we just did in Sunday school. So what did Jesus do? He just started the conversation, a simple conversation. He didn't say, "I am the Son of God and I'm come to give you the Word of God." He said, "Give me a drink." That's pretty basic, isn't it? Pretty basic start to the conversation. And so he knew that it would lead to other things, but it says in verse 8, "His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now, you study it out in Scripture, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And they would walk extra kilometers to get from point A to point B to avoid even going through a town that had Samaritans in it. They hated them that much. Why? Because they were half Jew, half Gentile. and they saw them as worse than Gentiles. But Jesus, thank the Lord, was a friend of sinners. Amen. And he didn't have respect of persons. He was willing to witness to anybody who would listen. And we should be the same. We need to be careful that we don't have respect of persons and only witness to the people that we're comfortable witnessing to. Sometimes God's going to bring people across our path that we'd rather not witness to, but He pushes us to, and we need to follow His leading. So verse 9, then saith the woman, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now this is quite beautiful, isn't it? So now Jesus has transitioned us from just the standard conversation over to spiritual things. And he mentions the gift of God. Well, that's salvation, right? The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So to be saved, you must understand that God offers us a gift, but you also have to understand, we've talked about this in our witnessing class, who Jesus is. Look what he says, who it is. If you knew who I was and you knew what I had to offer, you would ask. So to be saved, you have to know what God has to offer, which is salvation, but you also have to know who's offering it, and that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus said in John 8:24, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. You must believe in the deity of Jesus Christ to be saved. So you must know who He is. Remember when the Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? What'd they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Those are three different names. Lord meaning the Master, meaning the God of heaven. Jesus meaning the Savior. Jehovah saves. And Christ meaning the Old Testament fulfillment of the coming Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And what does Jesus offer? Living water. Praise the Lord. Let's look at John 7 where he expounds upon that a bit. And so we are out there offering people living water, the gift of eternal life. John 7 verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So he even defines it for us. It's the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And then we're told at the very last chapter of the Bible, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life is salvation, and when we receive the gift of eternal life, salvation, we also receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ said all of that in one sentence. But that's Jesus Christ, isn't it? So the woman, verse 11, said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Reminds us of the Nicodemus conversation, chapter 3, doesn't it? Trying to take a spiritual thing and make it physical. When Jesus talked about the new birth, he said, can someone enter in his mother's womb and be born? She's saying, how are you going to draw out living water out of this well? And of course, Jesus isn't talking about physical water, is he? He's talking about spiritual water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So here's another lesson in witnessing. The people you're witnessing to sometimes might try to sidetrack you with something totally irrelevant. And if you've ever witnessed to some people, you've had this happen, haven't you? You'll be sharing the gospel, you'll be talking about the Lord, and they'll just come along and ask some crazy question that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Who's that? That's the devil. Remember, the devil blinds minds. The devil doesn't want people to hear the gospel. And so she's saying, well, I hear what you're saying, that you are great and you have this living water, but maybe there's another way. Now, this happens to be, you know, the very well of Jacob. Jacob. And did you notice she said, our father Jacob. So she is part Jew. Our father Jacob. So really what she's saying is, who are you? Are you saying that you're greater than Jacob? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is saying there is no other way. So go to Romans 10, verse 3. We'll see where Paul explained this as well. Man wants there to be multiple ways. The world thinks that we are closed-minded in our belief that Jesus is the only way. We just are believing God's word. Amen? There is no salvation in any other, that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So either Christ was telling the truth and there is only one way, or he wasn't telling the truth. But we just believe the Bible, that Jesus could only tell the truth. So man wants, Romans 10:3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That describes man today, doesn't it? Going about to establish their own righteousness. She was saying to Jesus, hang on, I'm part Jew. Jacob's my father too. This is his well. What are you offering me that's greater than that? Than the fact that I have some Jewish blood in me? And wasn't that the problem of the Pharisees as well? Well, we're Jews. What do we need more than that? We're Jews. The Old Testament is Jewish. Everything is Jewish. Why would we need more? And man today is the same, isn't he? He wants to say, yeah, let's get ourselves to heaven by getting baptized or joining a church or following a list of do's and don'ts or whatever, or letting the church get us there. And Jesus is saying, no, this is it. I can offer you what nobody else can offer you, which is what? Everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. No one else can offer that. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. Don't you love it when you share the gospel and they say, yes, I want to be saved. Give me this water. But why is she wanting it initially? That I thirst not. So she still isn't getting it, is she? Well, this sounds good. You're telling me if I take a drink of the water you can give me, I don't have to come back to the well anymore? I won't ever be thirsty again, physically? No, she's trying to take something spiritual and make it physical. And she wants this for her own personal gain, right? Selfish reasons. I don't have to come to the well. I can just never be thirsty again. So it's time now to get to the heart of the problem when we witness. What's that? Sin. Sin. People have to be lost before they can be saved. So now Jesus is going to change the conversation. Right in the middle of her statement about the water, Jesus says, call thy husband and come hither. Sounds like a simple request, doesn't it? The thing is, though, Jesus knows people's hearts and he knows where this question's going to lead. So verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Uh-oh. It's time to point out the real problem, isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So the woman turns all spiritual. Verse 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know about me. You know personal things about me, and you never met me, yet you know that I've had five husbands, so you're obviously from God. So we don't have that power when we witness. Sorry. We can't know people's past and their thoughts. But we can tell them that they are a sinner, according to God's word. So, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Oh, sorry, I skipped 20. Our fathers worshipped at this mountain, and ye say then Jerusalem is the place to worship where men ought to worship. So, what is she trying to do? Distract from the facts, part two. First, it's what about this well? Now it's, you Jews think that we should worship in Jerusalem rather than over here by this mountain. So which is it? And Jesus answers and says, verse 21, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. The place isn't what matters. It's who you're worshiping that matters. Verse 22, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Look at Romans chapter 9 if you would. Don't ever forget that salvation is of the Jews. You hold in your hand a Jewish Bible. Amen? Jesus Christ was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. All the Old Testament prophets were Jews. Moses was a Jew. Look at Romans 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So look what God gave to the Jews. The adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. So we'll never forget, salvation is of the Jews. Which is why it amazes me how so many people want to turn their back on the Jews. We can't do it. Genesis 12 still holds. God will still bless those that bless them and curse those who curse them. Anyway, salvation is of the Jews. He's reminding her. Verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So go to Romans 8 now, and what we'll see is that we must have the Spirit of God to worship a God who is a Spirit. The unsaved cannot worship God. They can have a show of worship, but it's not going to accomplish anything, because if they don't have the Spirit of God, then they can't worship God. Because Jesus says God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Romans 8, 9. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You do not have to pray for the Spirit. You have the Spirit if you're born again. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. That's what we just read in Romans 8, 9. So this woman can't worship the Father because she doesn't have the Spirit. Because He says in John 4, 24, which we'll look at in detail next week, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is something that we, not something that we can touch and feel. And that's what He's trying to get across. He's beyond our comprehension. We must believe by faith that He exists, based on the conscience that He gave us, based on the creation that we look at, based on faith in His Word. But God is not going to come down like He did here and say, here I am, believe on me. He's not going to do it. So verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Isn't that beautiful? Look at verse 28 there in chapter 4, which again, we'll look at that next week. finish up this passage, but there in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" So she did believe. She no longer doubts the person of Christ. She said to the people in the town, "This is the Christ. You need to come hear what he has to say." And remember, you have to believe on the person of Christ to be saved. And we see in this passage this Jesus offering the gift of God. But notice he said you have to ask for it. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and need rescued from that problem. And then God will give you living water, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit. Once you have the Holy Spirit, then when you believe on the person of Christ and receive salvation, notice he said there, verse 26, "I that speak unto thee am he," then you can worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's a beautiful lesson of witnessing. Start a conversation, move to spiritual things, make sure they know about sin, make sure they know about the person of Christ and what he did in offering us salvation through what he through his substitutionary death and resurrection. So we'll look at more of it next week when we focus on that phrase, God is a spirit, because there's a lot to that, and we'll understand that better. But tonight we see he must needs go through Samaria. And what you're going to see, well, let's just get a glance at it. Look down at verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman." So it started with the woman, and it says many of the city believed. Isn't that beautiful? That's how it works, isn't it? Whoever told us, somebody told them. So let's be like Jesus and not have respect to persons, look for those opportunities that the Holy Spirit will give and take them. And let God do the rest, like he did in this Samaritan woman's heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you.